All right, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Interoperability Standards Workgroup meeting. I'm Seth Pazinski with ONC, and I would like to welcome everybody and say thank you for joining today. I'll be serving as the designated federal officer for today's call on behalf of Wendy Noboa. And as a reminder, all workgroup meetings are open to the public and public feedback is welcome throughout. Members of the public can type their comments in the Zoom chat feature throughout the meeting, or take advantage of the time on the agenda at the end of the call for verbal public comments. I'm going to start the call with a roll call of the workgroup members. So when I say your name, if you could please indicate that you are present. Sarah DeSylvie.
Struggling to find mute, but I am here. My apologies.
Sarah, no problem. Steve Eichner.
Good morning.
Good morning. Pooja Babra.
Good morning. I'm here.
Good morning. Ricky Bloomfield.
Good morning.
Morning. Medell Briggs Melanson.
Good morning.
Good morning. I did get a message that Hans Putendijk will be joining, but he will be late to the call today. Keith Campbell.
Good morning.
Morning. Christina Caraballo.
Good morning.
Good morning. Grace Cordovano.
Good morning.
Good morning. Raj Dash.
Good morning.
Good morning. Derek DeYoung.
Morning.
Morning. Lee Fleischer. And Hannah Galvin just messaged that she'll be joining, but joining late as well. Raj Gudvarti.
Good morning.
Jim Jurgis. Stephen Lane. Hung Liu.
Good morning.
Good morning. Anna McAllister. Katrina Miller Parrish.
Good morning.
Good morning. Aaron Neinstein. Kiki Loma Ashunkintan.
Good morning.
Good morning. Rochelle Prather.
Present. Good morning.
Good morning. Mark Savage.
Good morning.
Alex Muggy.
Good morning.
Good morning. Phil Sutherland. Shelly Spiro.
Good morning.
Good morning. Zeynep Sumar King. And Darish Sundar Rajwan.
Good morning.
Good morning. So that completes our roll call for today. Just one quick administrative item before I turn it over to the co-chairs. We recognize that some members have a conflict for the March 12th Interoperability Standards Workgroup meeting. If you could just let us know in the chat if you don't anticipate being able to make that call on the 12th, trying to figure out if we'll be able to have a quorum to have that meeting or not. So just appreciate if you could just mention that in the chat if you think you're, or send us an email if you don't think you're going to be able to make that call. With that, I will just want to say thanks to everybody for joining again, and I would like to welcome Sarah and Ike for their opening remarks.
Good morning, friends. It is great to be here. Just very excited to keep on working through a review of data elements. Really honored to have another SME presentation today. As noted in the homework, we really are trying to get those final recommendations going. And so hoping to get going on that as well. And we look forward to a productive call. Ike?
Echoing what you said, and we are going to touch on, and just as a friendly reminder to folks, this is going to be the last call or level two data elements. So think about any requests that you haven't put on the spreadsheet yet. We'll focus on that a little bit as we get to that point in the agenda. But as Sarah said, we've got a great presentation lined up. It's some good work to do before that.
So this is the agenda for the day. So we'll be, again, Well-known to ISWG, Maria Moen is here to talk through advanced directive observation and orders. Then we'll be working through draft USCDI V5 elements and hopefully get to those level two elements in time, and then going to public comment at 11:25 per usual. Next slide. Next slide. So before we get into Maria's presentation and welcome our SMEs, I just wanted to make sure that we always ground ourselves for protocol and habit in the charge of ISWG. Again, our overarching charge is to review and provide recommendations on draft USCDI V5. This includes those new data classes and elements from draft USCDI V5 that should be considered for the final USCDI V5 release. Again, part of our job as ISWG and our charge is to make sure the expertise from each of our perspectives are included in those final recommendations. So please do pay attention to what's happening in that working group discussion, draft final recommendation area, so that we can try to move some of those things forward. And then our charge also is to elevate any level two data classes and elements not included in draft USCDI V5 that should be considered. Again, we needed to put a timestamp on that just in order to complete our charge and get the final transmittal letter in time over to HITECH. So today was the day for that deadline. Next slide. And so we are very, very honored to have Maria. I'm going to pass the mic to her very, very shortly, but I just wanted to ground ourselves in the versions of the elements that are in draft USCDI V5 or otherwise before we head to Maria's conversation. Last time I did it flipped, but this time I'm going to try to just kind of land on this on what we have and what we're working on. And then we can hear how our subject matter experts presentation builds off of and reflects on that. Next slide. So this is the data element. So we have two data elements that we are going to have Maria reflect on today. So advanced directive observation, if the statement of presence and properties of patient or provider authored documents that record a patient's goals, preferences, and priorities, should a patient be unable to communicate them to a provider? This is something we've discussed in past ISWGs. There is a usage note of reference, may include whether a person has one or more advanced directives, the type of advanced directive, the location of the current source document, and whether it's been verified. Examples included but are not limited to indication that a living will is on file, reference to or location of durable medical power of attorney, and validating provider. So this is the first element. And then because Maria's expertise is robust, the next slide. We also have her speaking to orders, which is the provider authored directive for the delivery of patient care services. The data element is orders, provider authored directive for the delivery of patient care services. Examples included, but are not limited to diagnostic imaging, laboratory tests, interventions, referrals, and consultations, and do not resuscitate. So you can see some of the interconnection there between those two data elements. And now I'm honored to welcome our esteemed expert, Maria. Thank you so much for coming to join us, and we really look forward to the conversation and your expertise.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Don't be honored for me to be here. I'm honored to be amongst all of you. So thank you for giving me some time to give you a little insight into what we've been doing within the HL7 standards world, informed by an incredibly robust community of clinicians, policymakers, health systems, EHR vendors, et cetera. So I just did a really bland vanilla deck. I thought perhaps, you know, the pictures would speak 1,000 words. And so thanks for bringing that slide up for me. Go ahead and go to the next slide, please. In an effort to sort of level set where this experience and where some of our thoughts are going to be sourced from, you know, the initial work that we did revealed sections of the CDA or FHIR document that were important to bundle. We've had a lot of questions about bundling. And so what we want to do with USCDI in support is ensure that we don't lose context of information that has been recorded in these person-authored documents or these practitioner-authored documents, in addition to creating guidance to move from paper forms to interoperable electronic access. We needed to accommodate not only structured ADI, because in the world of HL7, you know, we we see, we dream of a future where data is structured, it is actionable, systems can respond to it through clinical decision support. But as many of you know, this is one of the last vestiges of paper. It has been a difficult climb to go from a completely paper-sourced environment to one that is emerging in the world of digital utilization. However, we have EMRs, EHR, clinical record systems that have stored and housed scanned images. And those unstructured documents need to be released to the general healthcare ecosystem so that they can be accessed to inform care. The third bullet is just talking about person-authored data. And while I know that there is a lift on the part of the clinical record vendors to really go from data that is sourced within my application to accommodating data that is sourced from outside the application, specifically that information that is authored by an individual, we really have to start the march to having an appetite for hearing what the individual has to say. And that hearing may be accommodated through a verbal expression or, in this use case, through existing forms and documents. So the following graphic was just provided to show the maturation of understanding that our entire community has really benefited from as we walk down this road. We are, you know, over 2.5 years into this project and have worked very hard to learn, accommodate, and respond to the needs of clinicians, vendors, and people like you and I who really want our care to be very personalized and customized to what matters to us. Next slide, please. I know this is a busy one. When we started in 2020 on the left, you can see the things that we thought that we knew. When you look at a refined understanding, because none of these projects happen without a significant amount of learning. I thought I was going to do this, and I ended up doing this because through discussion, where we landed was much more useful, usable, and accommodating to the healthcare ecosystem than where we started. So you see the refined understanding in 2021. Certainly we weighed in on USCDI V4, and we were so grateful to all of you and the people at ONC who really want to pivot and have this Copernican shift within our healthcare system from the healthcare system and the EHR and the vendor being the center of the system to the patient, the individual being the center of the system. And it is from that center that all of that care is planned. And so thank you very, very much for all of the initiatives that are in flight around the US that appreciate the inclusion of these data elements. On the right, you will see sort of where we have landed based on that understanding. And I tried to color code. My husband is colorblind, so he tells me this is a failed attempt all the time. But for those of you who are not colorblind, you can sort of follow, say, in green. We knew we needed a data element for those jurisdictional elections of who will speak for me when I am unable to speak for myself. In fact, the Uniform Law Commission, which is that body of lawyers that has really accommodated the Healthcare Decisions Act some 30-some years ago, they recently revised the recommended national standard, and that healthcare agent designation is the only section that requires a witness or a notary. That's how important it is. If I can't honor the rest of your decisions because whatever your physicality is, I just can't honor those decisions. At the very least, tell me who to talk to. Who do you trust? Who have you had discussions with? Who can inform your care? So you sort of see the green to green across the line. You see that teal, care experience preferences. You see the where we started with, which was living will. No, that's not right. Priorities under certain health conditions. Nobody knows what that is. And then we landed on treatment intervention preferences that resonated, it had meaning, and there were distinct concepts associated with that. The only other thing in that category, and please know, we do understand that these data classes are merely organizing concepts. You could put any of these data elements in any organization that makes sense to you. You guys are the experts. But, you know, for purposes of grouping them, because the human mind seeks to make order of things, this is how we listed it. priorities upon death is something that we will probably ask for in the next version of USCDI. It supports information such as organ donor registries. Do you want to be an organ donor? Do you have funereal, burial, celebration of life plans, et cetera? Again, looking at the right-hand box in the data class advanced directives, tomato, tomato, we have recommended that an advanced directive data element be promoted to version 5. And I put in sort of a soft gray italic. This enables those person-authored, non-structured data or documents housed in these EMR, EHRs across the country to be released and liberated to be accessed by providers in a time of need so that they can inform care. And a personal advanced care plan is a different topic than an advanced directive. On the sort of the lower middle of the right-hand box, you will see the advanced directive observation. The next slide, I'll go a little deeper on that. I love that you guys have created a data element for orders. Here's my ignorance. It never occurred to me that out of all the data these EHR systems are to make available to ease transitions of care, to inform the next care provider, to provide a robust picture of the person who they are treating, that the orders themselves were not a part of those requirements. So once I realized that, you know, the pieces and the parts and the quality measures and all of the things that we do that are so important to measuring the outcomes and the quality of care, once we got over that shock, we definitely need to see that orders data class. And then some data elements in a similar way that advanced directives and advanced care plans are person authored documents. We have the same subject matter. This is an advanced statement of my goals and preferences and priorities. However, these expressions are authored by practitioners and they are formal legal order sets. And there's a very distinct dividing line between those two form types, if you will. So if we're going to open the floodgates to getting the person-authored documents that are housed in these walled gardens of EMR, EHR files, because I don't know what good it does anybody to check a box and to store it in their system when somebody's going to present for care down the road and they trusted you to make that information available. So I want to see the portable medical orders as well as the advanced directives so that we really have released these documents. Please go ahead and go to the next slide. And it's the last one, I promise. And then I'll be done talking and I can answer questions. So I took that most recent box on the right from the prior slide and I laid it over here. And again, if you're colorblind, I'm very sorry. I tried to at least lay them on the same row, if you will. Again, we do understand that data class is an organizing element. There was discussion about, well, isn't an advanced directive? Couldn't that be a self-assessment? I am telling you what I want. I'm going to make it available in this data class. You will do your clinical validation and hopefully inform your treatment or your care plan from that. I've talked to the community at large. They understand it's an organizing concept. I would never tell you guys how to do your job. So I'm going to focus on the data elements and the meaning of them. You guys decide where they belong that fits the desired purpose the best. Again, going back to the green, the healthcare agent. If people do nothing else, then designate someone to speak on their behalf in a time of need when they're unable to communicate for whatever reason. This is one of the most critical things that you can do. So we would like to see the healthcare agent given credence and move on up through the chain to approach that USCDI formal data element set. Durable medical of power of attorney is a very narrow term. It refers to a specific set of jurisdictional instruments and our guiding light, our compass throughout this project has been to scan exhausting amounts of existing jurisdictional state health system forms, deconstruct every last one of them into Lego pieces that we can then align with interoperable concepts with a goal of enabling anybody who wants to go from paper to digital and has a form, a bunch of forms, a state's worth of forms. Our goal was to create the guidance, no matter what the document, to be able to do that. So I speak from an exhausting amount of form reviews, and we believe that healthcare agent is a more overarching, more inclusive term. Care experience and treatment intervention, all I can say on behalf of all of the projects that I work with, all of the clinicians, all the skilled nursing facility quality groups, is thank you. This was incredibly meaningful. Care experience are those moments before and after you need to make very specific treatment intervention preference decisions. So thank you very, very much. In the middle, you see the advanced directive, which is currently at a level 2, and the personal advanced care plan, which is at a level 1. Again, there's a couple of motivations here. So for scanned or unstructured documents, if all we've promoted to USCD IV5 is the observation, then we haven't really released those documents to inform care. We're starting at a particular point and saying, this is the observation. I saw the document. I validated that it was still accurate, the most current, authentic. It is viable for me to provide care, or not viable. The observation isn't always to the positive. And so, excuse me, I'm so sorry. And so releasing the forms, creating an expectation through USCDI, the certified EHR technology systems, are going to open the floodgates and make those documents available is step one. Once I have access to them, I can then use them in terms of an observation to inform care. The TEAL is the portable medical order. You have person-authored documents, and many jurisdictions will follow them and give them heed. There are safe harbor provisions in certain states that if a care team renders care based on a jurisdictionally appropriate person-authored document, if there are issues with that, maybe they accessed one and there was one tucked in a drawer somewhere and the family comes in and they're angry, there are safe harbor provisions that they did the very best they could with the treatment they had. They validated the document. They validated who's to speak for that person. And so you've got the advanced directives and you have the portable medical orders. Both are important to honoring what is important to the people that we treat. And then the very last item is the care team members. Proxy decision maker is yet another set of terms. It has been my experience working in long-term care, working in acute, working all over the place in healthcare IT technology, that we keep on coming up with new terms. You know, we have a resident representative that is required to be identified in skilled nursing facilities. Who is that? How do I align that with well-known terms? We have an emergency contact. We have, you know, medical decision maker, healthcare proxy. We need to land on a term. It needs to be overarching. And that is the term that we use to represent this thing, this concept, this notion. And so proxy decision maker simply introduces yet another term. And I will tell you that I don't believe I saw that term used more than once or twice on over 350 jurisdictional documents that I reviewed and deconstructed and got extremely intimate and comfortable with. So I have some notes here that I can speak to. I think I've spoken enough. I hope that that was helpful for a framework or a landscape. Hit me with what you got. I'm so glad that you guys have asked.
Great, Maria, thank you so incredibly much for that very expert review of the possibilities. I asked in this instance, I actually feel like for our conversation, if we could go back to that last slide. It's such a lovely summary of an expert evaluation of the opportunities we have to possibly get this right. And then we can facilitate our discussion. We have until 10:40, I believe, for this discussion. So lots of time to make sure that Maria advises us in leveraging her expertise toward this critical task. Any thoughts or questions from the work group on Maria's presentation, or how to build off the existing USCDI elements in referencing her presentation? Mark?
It would help me to know sort of what our starting point is. And by that, I mean the opening slides showed two data elements, mm-hmm. advanced directive observation and orders. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at a lot more than that on this slide. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm wondering what is the hope that we would be recommending going forward? Is it what ONC put into draft V5? Is it going beyond that?
I think akin to past ISWGs, if the work group feels like to represent the element, the additional details and data classes, data elements that are presented as such are required, then that could be our recommendation. I think it reminds me of the diagnostic imaging conversation we had last year, where there's just so many more elements that are required to get it right than were in that level two presentation. So I feel like we just understanding the consensus of ISWG in moving forward with what was originally presented in draft USCD V5 and integrating Maria's thoughts would be helpful for me. Ricky?
This was a great presentation, and I appreciate the detail and clarity here with respect to what we need to do and what the long-term goal is. I had a question similar to Mark's, which is, it would be helpful to understand from the technology vendors which of these data elements are commonly collected today in structured form versus simply written down somewhere. And I think that's partly a workflow question with respect to each individual health organization, and also partially a technology question where each technology vendor may or may not support the ability to record each one of these data elements in a structured way. So I don't know if you've done any exploration on that or have thoughts on the current state.
I do. And thank you for asking the questions. Connecting the dots is something I probably didn't do very well, and I apologize for that. If you look at just an advanced directive observation, which in my own language, I call the activation point. Anybody can walk in waving a piece of paper at you, or your EHR can query retrieve from, you know, your state HIE, you know, Commonwealth, eHealth Exchange, etc. You can be presented with a document, but for the majority of practitioners, it is outside the scope of their licensure to immediately read something, pivot, and render care based on that document. So that observation is a critical component to activating what has already been captured. Critical component. Does that observation very often, could it contain a link to the source document? Absolutely, it could, it should. One hopes that we're not just checking a box and then going off and rendering care. But if you don't have an advanced directive data element and a portable medical order data element to make those documents accessible, then what is the observation going to be based on? Only what I have in my system. Only what the person comes in and tells me that they have. Maybe they've uploaded it to their patient portal. Maybe I'm connected to three hospitals within my health system. My available pool of data is extremely small. And you've caught the advanced directive, not at the point of origination, not at the point of being available, but right now in the context of care. I think that's sort of, you know, opening the barn door after the horse has escaped. I have lots of sayings like that. I apologize. So I think if you look at our desire at some point to actually formulate quality measures, right? I want to send some quality measures into place. I want to make sure that practitioners, did they make an effort to access it? Was it available? Did it inform care? Logically, we know that when you eliminate unwanted overtreatment, you're going to reduce costs. Was there some type of observable cost reduction? You can't have an observation without having the forms available to base that observation on. So to me, if there were just a minimal amount of data elements that really takes this entire use case and this concept to the next level, I would look at it advanced directive, portable medical order, and the observation, the activation point. If orders is as much as we can get into V5, we have still taken a huge leap forward. It is probable that that will be a big burst of information. I don't know if portable medical orders would make the cut, but if we were clear in the description, we might get there. So the rest of it is background, and I apologize for not having connected the dots.
I think you've done a great job. So what I hear is, oh, Ricky has another question. What I hear is, I feel like there's general consensus for the inclusion of the elements as presented in draft USCIV 5. I see Maria offering refinement on what might be the elements within orders, understanding that the original submission, the original draft included advanced directive observation under observations and then orders itself. And what I hear Maria laying is a glide path towards improving the granularity of the additional elements that would be required to accurately represent this concept. Some of that might not be in draft USIV 5, some of it might be in future versions, but we do a lot of iterative work in ISWG, so I just wanna hold space for that. Ricky?
Thank you. Yeah, that answer was fantastic. I have two more questions and then I'll be done with this section. The next question was, related to the provenance of the information, what has been your thinking and research around how we could make sure that when that information is passed through, we understand who the authors were and who, was it the patient themselves? Was it the your healthcare power of attorney? And making sure that information isn't lost in association with the other data elements here. And then after that, I'll ask one more.
Thank you. Because if you asked them both, you know, I'd focus on the second one because I had completely forgotten the first one. In the way of thinking, and I try to cross-pollinate with everybody within the HL7 standards world because I'm always in a process of learning and trying to understand. In what I understand to be the truth, USCDI is about the data elements and making sure that the right information is made available to point of care. The how issues such as author, and believe me, I can go down that rabbit hole with you. That should be dependent on standards. If the CDA standards for personal advanced care plans and advanced directives and portable medical orders, and I say if because we actually tuned up the standards recently and aligned them with the FHIR IG, those standards carry the author. Those standards carry the data enterer. Those standards carry the custodian. From whence did this document come? All of those standards carry those very critical identifying elements. We even have sections within the doc, the CDA document and the FHIR bundle that accommodate witness, notary, you know, state, county of commission, all of that good information. So when the HL7 community does what they do so incredibly well, we can take that placeholder, that overarching concept within USCDI, and we can bring it to life and make it compliant and appropriate and valid in the way that standards do. And Ricky, we've worked very hard to do that.
Perfect. Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is that we just need to make sure we keep that into account when the data is modeled by the teams that are doing this work. Make sure we cover those details, which already happens, I think, in a robust way. So that sounds fantastic. And the last question is: this is something I think we discussed a little bit last year, but for health systems that don't yet have this information in structured form in their systems, is there any value in addition to what you've proposed here in asking health systems to expose any of these documents if they have scanned in PDFs, for example, because that's all that you know they've ever had, and it's you know maybe it came from the EMT, maybe it came from the patient at home, and all they had was a paper copy, and including that as, for example, a clinical note with the appropriate LOINC code, which is a model that US CORE already supports. And we've already discussed doing that for op notes and for ED notes in earlier calls this year. Could we also make this available that way as sort of a, a short-term solution to make this available sooner to more people, while other organizations are building up the ability to offer fully structured documents.
So next time you have to do my presentation, because that was so much better stated than I could have said it. And that, Ricky, that's exactly what we're looking at with that advanced directive and portable medical order data element. Yes, there are, I've spoken to different vendors and I put in my notes that there are hundreds of thousands. I had a few vendors represent that I need to go bigger. I need to add one more zero to that, that there have been documents completed, prepared, created, and then housed in a document management system or scanned. There are so many unstructured documents. That does not damage their validity. That does not damage their potential to inform care. When you go from paper to digital, you have to have a glide path. In fact, in our IGs, we are, especially our STU2 IG, we are creating a requirement that not only does structured data get sent from system to system, but also a human readable, forgive the non-tech, a PDF version of the source form also accompany that data set. We have to have a crawl, walk, run. If the human knows where to look on the form they're so familiar with on paper to say, where's this selection? It's right there. Then regardless of how the machines talk to each other and fire off clinical decision support and all of those magical things that these clinical record systems do, we have to meet the human where they are, and we're going to provide structured data where the machine is. And sometimes all we've got is an unstructured scan form, but we have to start making those available. That will support going from crawl to walking to running. But you said it so much better.
Perfect. That's really helpful. So I think that's something we as a work group can consider, because from an implementation perspective, I think that'd be much easier for many to do and maybe something we could consider in addition to the orders piece that's also being considered. Thank you very much.
You said a mouthful there. We were in ballot for a year and a half. Any of you that know HL7, I hope you got goosebumps like I just did. I think I have PTSD. We started the FHIR implementation guides with this pie in the sky idea that everybody was going to be structured. We were going to go digital. And then we had a cold stop from the vendors who said, I get it. I'm there. I'll do it. But right now, I need to release interoperable documents and your guidance on unstructured scan forms is not strong enough. And we had to go back and we had to accommodate it. So this outcry comes from the very people who are looking to release those documents. Sorry if I interrupted something.
Ricky, before I go to Shelley, can I just ask you to clarify? Because I think what I hear you saying is a way to address the desire for the advanced directive element as written here in the absence of advanced directive data class, which doesn't exist right now in UICDI. Can you reiterate just so I can hear clearly what your thought is there? I just want to make sure.
And yeah, absolutely. And I left a comment about this in the spreadsheet as well.
Okay, great.
And so what I'm saying is, these documents exist as PDFs today in many cases. And can we use the existing clinical notes data elements within US Core, which come through as document reference, usually with an attachment and with a LOINC code that defines that document type, just like we did for ED note and op note, and do that for advanced directive. And so it would simply add another required LOINC code. Mm-hmm. That would be selected as part of this modeling. I offered an example code. I know we have language around that for our earlier ones, and propose that this year in addition to what's here, given the ease of implementation for something like that.
That makes a lot of sense. And I had to cross-check with ONC on this one. There is no current data class of advanced directives. So it's also how do we bring forward the expertise and the granularity that we see in the chat regarding the three top things that may be coming out of Maria's presentation, but work it into USCDI as it stands right now, kind of pulling into what Mark was saying in the beginning, right? So if these are the three that are elevating to the top, we have our advanced directive observation, advanced directive, which could be structured as a clinical notes, as a clinical note in that method you're talking about that we already have going for emergency department and operative note, and then the portable medical order in referencing under the order as data class. I think I'm trying to just conceptualize how we might make a current recommendation. Oh, is that correct, Maria, or am I wrong?
I don't think clinical note is viable at all. Again, okay. A clinical note would mean that all of the documents that are out there that are available for data exchange by simply wrapping a CDA or a FHIR header on them, all of a sudden now I need to make a clinical note for those documents to go. How is that person-centered? How do we take and move from a paternalistic system where, oh, it's accompanied by a note, therefore it's valid, to making sure that these documents are made available without the intervention of a clinician? You know, there are HIEs out there with patient-facing front ends. People have loaded their documents in there. There are state advanced directive, advanced care plan, portable medical order registries. A clinical note wasn't necessary to create and make those documents available. So I'm a little bit opposed to that, but I'm sorry, Shelley, I see your hand.
I just want to clarify one thing there, which when I said clinical note, I'm referring to the guidance within US CORE to make clinical documents available. I'm not saying that any additional work needs to be done by anyone to make those documents available, like creating a new note for this. There is current functionality that allows PDFs to be conveyed through these, you know, FHIR APIs as a document reference with a link code. And that's what I'm referring to here. So definitely don't think that any new note should be generated as part of this. And I think that's something that we can clarify in our language.
Thank you, Ricky, for that clarification. I'm sorry if I confused things. I just wanted to try to figure out a path forward with these three elements in our existing data classes. Shelley?
Thank you. And Maria, thank you so much for an excellent presentation. Very complex topic. My question is more over your discussion of, I know the PASIO project, which is where the advanced directives live within the HL7 environment. And I know that you, the advanced directives have gone through connectathons at HL7. Can you talk a little bit about how you used non-structured data, but more PDF style data, but still exchange that within the connectathon?
Yeah, I sure can. And thank you for saying that. In actuality, the Advanced Directive Interoperability Project is sponsored by the Patient Empowerment Work Group. And then the technical framework and a lot of the expertise happens within the PASIO work group. So Patient Empowerment owns this one, and for a very good reason. When we did connectathons, and some of the connectathons that we did that were really, really, past the initial stages, we had an EMS provider. And the EMS provider was able to query and retrieve a scanned image of a portable medical order. EMS can only respond to doctor's orders. They cannot honor person-authored documents. So for them to do a query retrieve at a make-believe emergency point in time when our target individual was found laying on the floor and unresponsive, for them to be able to query retrieve that unstructured document and see an image on their device, that was a glide path that they could get their heads around. Again, looking at scanned advanced directives. Yep, I've got two witness signatures. Yep, I've got a notary signature. I've got a healthcare agent here who's telling me mom wrote everything down. Go find her document and I will work with you to devise a treatment plan. We did a lot of work on scanned documents, Shelley, because that's what's out there. These structured documents are very, they're few in comparison to the unstructured documents, but vendors are building up ahead of steam and they are coming. I hope that was helpful. I know I'm running short on time.
Thank you so much. That was very helpful.
Maria, thank you so much. It is, first of all, just so wonderful to see the thought and the care and the vision in this presentation. I know that I think this actually kind of lays out a lovely, like the ideal future state that we can hopefully iterate on over the course of our years in ISWG. So what we try to do is leverage moments in time, like what can we do right now? And then also ensure that we create recommendations for where we want to go. And I don't think we could do it so elegantly without your, without this presentation. It was really very powerful. Any other thoughts on Maria's presentation before we pivot to go into the review of the Google Sheet and level five elements?
I just want to offer one comment. Our project was born during the firestorm that was COVID, and we have so many clinicians involved in this project, and you know they'll back away when you get into data standards, but they will give you all of their passion. And they said, please never again have us delivering care at an extremely rapid pace, doing the best we can, knowing logically the person I'm working on would not want me to do this. Give me the ability to honor the people that I treat. And so that's the passion from which these requests are based. I want to hold good to our promise to them. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, I believe right now we're pivoting to the level five elements. Next slide. All right, and so I just want to thank you, Maria. It's so hard to pivot. So we have a few recommendations that we are trying to get our final, like a draft recommendation in progress for. That's all happening in the work group discussion column. Eventually, we'll be moved to the final recommendation column, but right now it's happening there. We had a lot of people step up to lead those elements. And so we really are trying to make sure we're driving to that recommendation as it, and these are the ones we have so far. So we had emergency department note, operative note, lot number, test kit, unique device, identifier, route, sex parameter for clinical use, pronoun, name to use, and interpreter needed. And then again, there's lots of activity happening in the work group discussion column. So thank you all for leading those. We do, if we can keep on refining those, and the person who took lead on drafting it can keep on trying to integrate the other comments that are happening afterwards, that'd be great. Next slide. We do have another SME presentation coming on the 5th, and that is the care team experts across the NIDDK, AHRQ, e-care plan initiative, the MCC e-care plan, and then also ensuring we had representation from CMS given the use of care plans across CMS activities. They'll be here on the 5th. And again, Mark, thanks for helping us identify those SMEs. We do
have to help.
Thank you so much. There's also a few other elements in level two that SMEs were asked to be identified in. For, but we asked that members of ISWG get back to us really quickly on those, and I don't believe we've heard any other recommendations. So if we don't have guidance on the SMEs that we need to do outreach on, we're unable to schedule those presentations. So that leaves us to work it out and try to see if we can figure out as an ISWG ourselves. Next slide. And this is where we stand on review of all of the elements so far. As of today, the only things that we have not discussed in our draft use 75 is author and author roles. So we did address advanced directive observation and orders today. And then you can see that correlates very elegantly with the final recommendations in progress. So these are things that we've discussed and refined, and we are hoping to get to final recommendation on as we refine those comments going forward, and hoping to get to author and author role today. Next slide. What I'd like to do now before we go into, okay, we can go to level two just before we go to the Google side. Next slide. Just as a note, that this is the current list that we have so far. This is the last day to establish level two elements as a recommendation. If you want to elevate them, they have to go now. We do note Pooja and Shelley, the comment that Pooja made before she went back to Vibe, I think. But we do have care plan. We have that plan speed presentation, health literacy status. We've thought about this one, have a little bit of a thought on how to address that. Laboratory specimen collection, date and time. Substance, food and allergies and intolerances, family health history, a host of insurance information elements. This was one of those that was identified as possibly having a SME be helpful, but we didn't have a SME identified. So if you have an idea of that, please let us know. And then we had a request for a clinical note regarding maternal SDOH note.
And this is Steve. One of the things that Sarah and I were talking about a little bit this morning, kind of as we were looking at the health insurance information, one of the things that we realized is that there's not a individual identifier and identifier type that's just there in general to support something like a medical record number or something like that. And is that something that we should put? There is a level two data element that is related to that that we could include. Is there interest in the group in including that? Is that worth the discussion?
It seems like the best way to address that is maybe we should just put it on there and then have the discussion as part of our work, right? And then we can do it collectively as opposed, so we can center your idea as something to put on level two. Anyone else have a different thought?
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, sounds good. All right, and I believe now we are ready to go to the slot, to the share drive to try to work through some elements. If it's okay to start with the reflection that, because this is kind of where we put these things to action, it's kind of start with revisiting the advanced directives and orders comments that Maria just presented on, after we kind of revisit the gender harmony elements that were presented on last week. Mark, I believe we have an update to some of the recommendations from gender harmony in the definition and in a usage note that might be helpful. So once Al gets the shared, the Google Doc open, it'd be great to touch base on that.
Sure.
All right. So we have, if we can start from up at the gender harmony element. I'm just trying to, like, if we had a SME presentation, I'd love to anchor us in reflections on that SME presentation, both in the meeting and in the following meeting, so we can move toward a final recommendation. And I did want us all to take note of what the definition that evolved in the sex parameter for clinical use. So if you can go over to the work group discussion element, that'd be great.
It's a hard sell to read, Sarah, because it's become so long.
Oh, it has become, it is a very hard, it doesn't fit. This is one of those Google slide elements.
So maybe widening the column will help for purposes of visualization here.
That sounds great. All right.
Do you want me to jump in, or do you?
Yeah, no, please do jump in. Okay. I think one of the things I just wanted to note, one of the things that we were looking to our SMEs to do is help us, if we agreed, help us refine the definition for sex parameter for clinical use and some of the accompanying recommendations in reference to HDI-1. And Mark, you were such a great lead on this. So I would love to have you show us where we landed and hope we can put this into the final rec and go from there.
Thanks. So on the presentation, I think both the SMEs and the work group, there seemed to be consensus about the three elements, but where we spent some time talking was about the definition for sex parameter for clinical use. Hans and others raised the question of, could it be simplified? So what we have working with the SMEs is a revised suggested definition as we reflected on the work group conversation. I think it does meet the desire for something simpler. And some of the additional language that had been in the definition, we switched to a usage note about where the observable observation might come from as examples. So it's there in front of you, a revised shorter definition, and then the usage note. And then the last thing else, which will be new to the, unless people have looked at this spreadsheet before today's meeting, we did discover that the regulation refers to a LOINC standard in 2.72. It's sex for clinical use, not sex parameter for clinical use. So we've included a note that we recommend including so that ONC can figure out how to avoid confusion as we go forward, as this hopefully gets added to USCDI v5. That's a quick summary. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any questions or concerns in moving forward? Because with the, so Mark was going to take lead on drafting the final recommendation statement for this and the associated gender harmony data elements. Any concerns with moving forward with recommending the revised definition and usage note and accompanying recommendation in as they were crafted in guidance of our subject matter experts? Anyone have any questions? All right. Speak now, forever hold your peace. Again, Mark, thank you so much for facilitating, leveraging the expert guidance of the Gender Harmony SMEs into ISWG. Mark is going to take lead ever so capably in drafting that final recommendation, including the recommendation to update the definition for sex parameter for clinical use and the recommendation in reference to HTA1. So thank you so much. And so now I would love to, go back to the care team, the advanced directive observation element.
Sarah?
Yeah?
Do you want to do named use and pronoun as well, or do that later? Just checking.
Oh, were there updates there as well? My apologies.
To state the that people wanted to go forward. It's not really an update. I just put it in language. And
yes. Yes. My apologies. Yeah. So I thought feeling like we were there. So any concerns?
I think so. Yes.
Yeah. Any concerns with moving forward with name to use and pronoun as an ISWD recommendation, understanding that we had a really robust conversation regarding differentiating name to use from preferred name and legal administrative name. No, it was the recorded. There was some element I'm trying to remember. It was last week. I'm trying to weave together everything. Any concerns with moving forward the associated elements from the Gender Harmony Project as referenced by the last presentation from the SMEs? I just want to elevate. So the there are some, if we go over to work group discussion, the next column. I just want to note we had, Derek is still on the call. So it just, if we can make sure that the name to use elements contain the conversation and documentation concerns that Derek was referencing in the presentation last week. Derek, are you, I'm sorry, I'm calling you out.
No, not a problem. Yeah. It's not a hill I'm going to die on. I was just more confused in the difference. So I think the conversation helped.
Okay, great.
And I think if we get the documentation out there because I think there will be confusion once it comes out of like, hey, we captured preferred name today. Mm-hmm. Where all these patients, is this different? And as long as we have that documented somewhere, I'm okay.
Great. Okay, fantastic. So what I'm hearing, Mark, is no concerns. I hear some nice comments in the chat. I do want to just honor the fact that moving forward with this, with these three recommendations is a many year ISWG recommendation. And I feel that. I am very, very grateful that ONC put these in draft USIV 5 because they're critical nature. And I'm very grateful for Gender Harmony coming to discuss those elements with us with all their expertise. Mark, thank you for your leadership on these. And this is one of those, it took many, many years and here we are moments. And so thank you so much. All right. And then now, just because I want to move forward on there, now I'm going to have us land with a little bit of buffer back to the elements that we addressed today, because I believe most of the concerns that we've had or details we've raised and other recommendations on other elements so far are happening through our work group discussion elements. So details on whether or not to reference specific loin codes, details on at a minimum, though that conversation should be happening in the workgroup discussion on the, for instance, the emergency department note and operative note. We can always elevate it back here into the meeting, but I do want to keep that discussion happening asynchronously in the workgroup discussion if possible. So to reference back, so we have this wonderful presentation from Maria. Thank you so much. The original recommendation from in draft USCIV 5 is for the advanced directive observation and for order. There were refinements as presented by Maria in the SME presentation. I didn't hear any amendments or adaptations or see anything in her presentation regarding any change to advanced directive observation. I'm going to start there. Any concerns with moving forward with advanced directive observation as it stands right now? I do want to note that Ricky's conversation and Maria's conversation talk about other ways to represent the information which was in a structured document type. Shelley?
Yeah. Question is, if we agree with putting advanced directive ops in observation, does that not then allow us to have an advanced directive data class with other components, and then would it maybe now or at a later time? That's what I'm trying to, does it have to go into observation when advanced directives has many other data element components that could fit into its own class?
This is one of, so Shelley, that's a really good question. This is partly why I just queried. So maybe Al can speak to this, but right now the core components of advanced directives are put across many different types of data classes. There is no unique data class. And I heard that very strongly in Maria's presentation as being a really future forward way to go. That would be a recommendation for the future, as far as I understand. Al, do you want to come off, want to help us understand current state and possible future state?
Yeah, sorry. The recommendation certainly could be to establish an advanced directive data class to capture all of the concepts around all of the concepts, that, especially the ones that Maria went over. And looking at that list, it covers a very broad array of concept types, whether it's just all of those data elements are very different data types. Organizing them into an advanced directive could be helpful to just be able to visually package those data elements so that there's an understanding that ONC through USCDI is addressing advanced directives as a concept area. So the recommendation certainly could be to organize or reorganize the data classes into a single data class. We intentionally separate them out and not identify or not establish an advanced directives data class in the first place when we started adding components like treatment intervention preference and care experience preference. Because those are primarily goals and preferences. And then the observation, we did it the way that we did it. Just because it made sense to categorize them in that way, but categorizing all of the advanced directive related concepts into a single one is another way to go. And it would certainly be okay. But I think that one of the things that we try and project about USCDI is that the data classes themselves do not convey specific meaning to the data elements, do not indicate the method of use, the care settings in which they're used, or any other characteristic about the data element. It's really just there to be, I call it a visual organizer, and just to say that these are concept, we kind of are capturing things in this concept area. And so for that reason, having an advanced directive data class could be useful to visually organize all of the advanced directive data class into a single data class. So that was a very long-winded way to say, sure, go ahead, make a recommendation for the advanced directive data class.
Yeah, and I think part of the, even in Maria's presentation, just trying to call it forward, some elements are included in an advanced directive, but also used in other use cases, right? So you'd want to, I think the presentation that you had, Maria, had an advanced directive data class, but it's not like every single element was included in that, because some of the elements are included across like other purposes, such as care team members or preferences. Shelley?
Yeah, I'm just going to be in support of, along with Lorraine, to move to a data, an advanced directive data class. And then we can fit the right elements in there, mainly because of the way that we've worked on this through HL7 is named as a data class. Although, whether we put it in as a data class or it's all around in different places in other data classes, I think it's more confusing, and this is such an important piece. So I'm going to vote to make it a data class and have other data elements under advanced directive.
I love it. Okay, Stephen?
Yeah, I as I just put in the chat, you know, when we went through this with the SDOH data elements that we added in version 2, mm-hmm. and in that case, they got spread around into different data classes. And as Al said, you know, this is really just an organizational schema. It doesn't change the presence or the meaning of any of these new data elements. But for those of us who are constantly dipping in and out of USCDI and making talks about it and trying to explain it to others, it, you know, with SDOH over these past few years, it's been a little difficult. You always have to go and find them in each of the data classes and sort of bring them together and copy and paste them from different places. So, you know, it's been awkward, but I get the idea of keeping new data elements in with other related data elements. But so I would just ask, I don't have a preference whether we lump or split across data classes, but I think we should be consistent. I don't think we should have SDOH one way and advanced directives another way.
That makes sense. Shannon, I just want to make sure that the original question was on the elements themselves and not the data class. And so if we can just revisit and go back at some point to the elements and talk about data class in time, that'd be great, Shelley.
Well, yes, the advanced directive of observation data element is important to be added at this time. There, the ADI in Maria has done quite a bit of work to make sure that it's part of the HL7 fire resources. I think that what Stephen is saying is also very important. I believe there needs to be a restructuring of the data classes. Look at medications as an example, which is where my expertise lies. We could have put medication all over in almost any data class, but by having it in its own data class sort of gives it its focal point. So wherever you put advanced directives now, I think is important, but I think for the future, we need to recognize it as a data class and agree with you, Al. It might not be the time to do it now, but I think we need to to look at that for the future.
Okay, and I'm just going to ask that we, if we can just step back from the data class question for one moment and ask and just make sure that we're in agreement on the elements as stated and moving forward with that. And then we add recommendations for like an envelope data class on top of that. Hans, do you have a thought? Hans, we can't hear you if you're speaking.
Sorry, I just rushed back behind my laptop. I just got from the phone, so apologies for not being on earlier. No. I got a little bit of the final tail end of the discussion about a half an hour ago after Maria's presentation. Didn't get that. But I think the discussion of data element to move forward and data class, I think they're somewhat related. And I heard Shelley's and Stephen's feedback on that respectively as well. I think in order to understand the data element better and the purpose, which makes sense to advance in this space, that actually the data class helps as well, because putting it under observations, putting it under orders, putting it on the care plan, putting it on the clinical notes are all uncomfortable in one way or another. And it makes it hard to understand what are we trying to really achieve with what is really an advanced directive observation. When you look at advanced directives, it has elements of a plan, of goals, of preferences, of potential actions that are allowed or not allowed. So I think it goes together. Maybe that's inconsistent with what is happening in other areas, but I would argue that what is happening in other areas is actually not helpful either. So I would rather change those as well to make USCDI much more clear in intent and focus. And as Al indicated, that whatever the name is or the grouping is in USCDI, that doesn't limit you what you can do in 5 years core CCDA to then express it, which where we still need to have some conversation. But I think the data element plus the data class helps clearly articulate what we're trying to move forward to. And whether that is initially PDF, scanned, unstructured, which for many cases will be the only thing that people can really do, and then move our way to fully structured, encoded, computable, that's the path then we are on. And that's a good path to be on, just a few more steps to take. But I think that will be helpful. So I would support the principle of the data element, where we're trying to get to. Maybe we can argue a little bit more about the implementation of it, but that's a different story. But do it together so that the relationship is very clear on what we're trying to pull together.
So I hear no concerns with the recommendation for moving advanced directive observation as an element forward. I hear thought on whether it belongs in the observation class or in a unique new data class. Does that seem like a fair, any concerns with that statement?
This is Steve. I would call it a different data class, not necessarily a unique data class.
Okay, and we can figure out what that different data class might be.
I'm not trying to resolve it. I was thinking, when I hear the word unique, I was thinking it's kind of a standalone own element in its data class, own data class, opposed to a separate data class that may or may not contain multiple elements. Not trying to name it now, but I could see, you know, offhand something around like patient generated documents or something like that as a class that would include advanced directives or something in that space.
Okay, and how the actual class itself we're holding space for, right?
Yep.
And then I just want to, so I don't hear any concerns for the element. I hear support. I'm going to say it positively. I hear enthusiastic support for the inclusion of advanced directive observation, right? And I'm just going to leave space.
Yes.
Thank you. All right.
I guess one thing to add on in that space is perhaps with a friendly amendment to look at following some of the work that's going on in developing the IGs as a gulp-swallow preferred method of implementation.
That sounds wonderful. And those details we can include in our final recommendation. And then I want to build off of this kind of third element that Maria was mentioning, which is the advanced directive document itself, right? And pulling forward what Ricky was speaking to, right? And so we have advanced directive observation, we had advanced directive. Where are we at with that? So that would, if we're saying full force, we need a new data class for advanced directives, this type of document or the guidance on the document with the LOINT codes Ricky's mentioning in the member recommendation could go into that section. But I want to make sure I understand where the ISWGES doesn't need more time to reflect on that additional advanced directive element as suggested by Maria. And it could be just we need more time and we can come back to that next week. Mark?
Sorry, I may have missed this, but is there a way in which that document can be attached to the advanced directive observation, or does it have to be a separate data element? I'm wondering if it's simpler than
we're making it out to be. Maria, what are your thoughts there?
No. I'm listening intently. Again, the observation is the point at which it's activated within the healthcare ecosystem. If you don't have an advanced directive data element and or a portable medical order data element, your ability to formulate quality measures is going to be confounded. You're just going to look at the observation, which may or may not create a document. We are looking to create an opportunity for these hundreds of thousands and millions of forms without any further clinical intervention, some of which are introduced by the individual to their state HIE. We are looking for data elements to allow those forms to be liberated and made available. The observation is what happens once they're available, whether they're handed to me or I query retrieve them from my EHR. In my way of thinking, you can't do QMs without an asset. And what did I observe? And we can't open the floodgates to all of these documents that people really think we're providing care from until they are accommodated as a concept. I think observation is further down the line in my way of thinking, and I could be wrong.
Thank you so much. And Hans?
Thank you. Yeah, an additional thought is that on the data element itself, currently the definition is using the term patient or provider authored. I think as part of the recommendation I believe that it would be more appropriate and more encompassing and recognizing where we are at with actual patient authored directives, that the term patient expressed would be very helpful, because that can cover both, whether it is a patient expressed, somebody else transcribed, or patient actually authored. There are some transitions in place where we're at that patient authored would imply, as in some other areas, the term authored implies, would imply that the patient directly into the system actually creates the note, the component that they are, that is at hand, rather than that it's somebody else, which the latter is the more likely. So expressed would maintain flexibility. Authored effectively would indicate that the patient has to be the one that wrote it on the system, and that could cause challenges.
That makes me think about the two remaining USVI elements we haven't addressed yet, which we'll get to very shortly. I see Mark smiling on that one. Okay, so I think I hear us. So I don't know if that answered the question, but so what I'm going to hold space for is the fact that we might need to talk further on the additional element as presented by Maria, just as we did with the subject matter experts from Gender Harmony. So I hear us voicing support for advanced directive observation with some considerations on how to refine that definition. And Hans, that makes a ton of sense to me. Is someone willing to take lead on drafting that working definition, working recommendation, including possible refinement of the definition before we come back next week? That would be helpful.
I'd be happy to join.
Thank you so much.
I don't want to lead, but either way, happy to join.
Sarah, I'll help. I'll work with Hans under Hans' leadership.
Hi, Mark. Mark is volunteering. Mark, thank you so much. That's very appreciated. Well, I just want to make sure that we're moving forward in our process. That's appreciated. So we don't have a ton of time before public comment, and so I want to make sure that we're landing at a place of action. Can we go to the orders recommendation as well, please? Because as presented by Maria, there's her recommendation was building off the level two. Portable medical orders, to be more specific. Shelley, any thought? Do you have any comments before we move on?
No, I didn't get my hand up in time to say that I won't leave, but I'll help with Mark and Hans on the advanced directive.
We have a collaborative effort between Hans
and Maria and Shelley. Feed me some info too.
Great. So just trying to make sure that we, again, reflect on this new presentation in reference directly to the draft USIV 5. So as presented, the element was orders and it was under the orders data class. And then as it was presented by Maria, there was a recommendation to move forward with the portable medical orders data class that's data element that's currently in level 2 as expressed and defined, which is slightly different than here. Any comment on that before we head to public comment, and someday we'll get to those level 2 elements. Shelley?
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with Maria on adding portable medical orders.
This is a slight refinement, right, of what we have here. So thank you so much, Shelley. Hans?
I would like to see some clarification that these are in the states that are in the UCDI, that they are reflecting what is documented in that regard, but it's not necessarily initiating and managing the workflow of such an order. Order is typically a term that's being used that then manages the entire workflow from ordering to results. In this case, I think it is focused on sharing the presence of that, and then the right parties can then take that and work with it at that point in time. But it's not meant to be a workflow management tool at this point. And we need to somehow think on how we can clarify that to avoid setting an expectation of what it's not.
Any thoughts on what Hans said? Stephen?
Yeah, I mean, I think portable orders are so important and complicated and new. I mean, it seems pretty clear to say, you know, these are the pending orders for a patient and to make those interoperable. And I really support doing that. It does seem a little odd that it sort of came in our discussion about advanced directives, because of course those are very unique orders. And there are so many other orders, right? Labs, imaging, et cetera, et cetera. And there's so much value in making those portable, such that, you know, a patient can take their orders and shop around and find the services that are most appropriate for them. You know, but as Hans says, there's a lot of workflow in that, and getting those results back to the ordering provider and ECC providers, to the patient, you know, when the orders transmit, you know, across an ecosystem or across geographies. So I think there's just a lot to be said about orders, and I don't have the sense that we've really dug into those in detail, and yet I'd love to see them move forward. Just wanted to share that.
So I'm hearing us maybe needing to continue conversation on this. We do have time, right? We can think on this and think on Maria's presentation and come back next week. Shelley?
Yeah, totally agree with Stephen, but I think what we're missing is there's been a lot of work that's taking place within HL7 around transitions of care. And this is where the portable orders really come in, is during that transitions of care. So there are several use cases within the PASIO project that deal with transitions of care, and the portable orders are an important piece of that. Now, whether we put it in a data class of advanced directives or we leave it in orders, I still think those data elements need to be called out, because not every order actually is pertinent for transitions of care, but of course the portable orders are.
So because there really are two elements here, so Maria was bringing to light the portable medical orders level 2 element that is directly aligned with advanced directive mission, right? And then there's this general concept of orders, which is far more expansive. Maybe we can keep on talking about this next week, just to make sure, as Stephen's mentioned, that we lean into this fairly new thing, but very critical thing for us to reflect on. And maybe it has to be parsed out into different subtypes so that we can make sure we get it right, given the various use cases. We are almost at time. I just want to scroll down for a second just so that we can prep ourselves. I'm going to ask that we start there next week. If we scroll down so that we can scroll down to it looks like we're maybe stuck I just want us to see the last elements for draft V5 that we, so we have author, right? And then we have author role, right? I want us to start with this conversation next week after we resolve any kind of SME, ongoing SME conversations, so we can make sure that we develop a plan for these, as these are the only draft V5 elements we've not addressed yet. Mark?
I quickly during this meeting dropped last year's ISWG recommendation in so that there was something to react to. So it'll, I'm just saying that because it'll appear new if somebody hasn't been tracking it in the middle of our conversation right now. Okay. I tried to adjust for some things that have changed over the year. I will go back afterwards and see if I've missed something, but that's just pointing that out. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mark. So just because, again, it is our charge to review every single V5 element, if we can review what Mark put in the middle of in this meeting, reflect on what ISWG has said in the past, and make sure we come in ready next week to look into this element, these two elements, I would appreciate it. So I hear we have moving forward with the gender harmony elements. Mark's leading some of that work on the final rec. We have clear consensus on the advanced directive observation element, working on trying to figure out how we represent a possible new data class for advanced directives, and really here a need to kind of revisit and lean into orders uniquely again in the next meeting, and then also trying to figure out what to do with that additional element that Maria elevated, which is the advanced directive document type, and Ricky was talking about solutions that have been offered for other like similar elements in past conversations. Whew. So we're working on that. We're still, I think there's limited real estate, but we're still been working in work group discussion. We'll all discuss with the co-chairs and with Ike and ONC whether it's time to move into the final recommendation column, Mark, just because it's very complicated to keep on having these conversations, I think, in work group discussion. It's getting tight, as you can't even see it all in sex operator for clinical use. So that will be part of our homework when we disseminate after the meeting. I believe we need to go to public comment. My apologies, we're a little bit late. Again, thank you for the robust conversation. Maria, thank you for coming to help us. And Seth, back to you.
All right, thank you, Sarah. So we're gonna open up for public comment at this point. If you are on the Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the raise hand function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you are participating by phone only today, you can press *9 to raise your hand. And once called upon, please press *6 to mute and unmute your line. So we'll give folks a minute to queue up if there are any public comments. Okay, not hearing any comments on the line, not seeing any on the Zoom. I will turn it back to Sarah and Ike to close this out.
All right, another robust conversation. I do want to say, I feel like we're at that inflection point where I was an appropriate slide to discuss it, where we really need to start moving forward with final recommendations on some elements and putting them, you know, behind us and putting that little green tag on them in order to begin final recommendations on March 26, especially if we're thinking about not having the March 12th meeting because of him. So again, if we can just, we'll try to lean into more specific guidance on that in the homework, but really do try to finalize those recommendations so that we can be really clear on what we have to discuss again. And if everyone can just also just review the Google Drive, just to make sure that they're comfortable with the draft recommendations that are in progress, so that we can again, make sure we can facilitate a consensus final recommendation from the group. Ike, any other final thoughts?
I think we may amend the 26th item from beginning finalizing recommendations to be a little more aggressive in finalizing recommendations and finalizing the transmittal letter on April 2nd.
Thank you so much, Ike. Another robust, great meeting. Maria, again, thank you for being the resident expert and the advocate. I think in this, and the elements presented, I think it's important to note the advocacy element in there. We are so glad to have you. Thank you all for the robust conversation and look forward to coming in next week with our further conversations.
Thank you so much.